Blog Talk Radio.
It's Rossi Bowes, y'all. Yeah, yeah, it's Shay Rose, y'all. Yeah, it's the Rossi Bowes Show. You are now in tune. You ain't locked in yet, then you will be soon. Shay Rose on the wing. Regardless of the topic, put these two together and they be doing their thing. Got interesting guests stopping through for an interview. Showing love for the fans, calling in, you getting through. Join the convo, you can give a shout out. Here's a number for your phone so you can dial out. 347-838-9540. Don't call too late, cause you don't wanna miss all the action. Tons of lasting, bunch of memorable moments, 2 hours fasting. Expand your horizons, open your mind. Had a hard, long day, come and have a good time. Have an opinion to share, call up and let it go. Walk along, it's Real Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to It's Real Talk Radio. I'm your host, Roxy, and my co-host, Shay.
Hey, how's it going tonight?
There she is. And you're now in tune with the Roxy Rose Show. We have a special guest this week, Nicole Petzier. Nicole is a mama of two beautiful little girls, and the title of personal shopper is also an entrepreneur. Nicole, are you there?
I'm here.
You want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, I'm Nicole, and I have two cute little girls. One is 4 and one is 18 months. They definitely keep me on my toes.
One second. I can't.
Shay, you there?
Yeah, hey, this is Shay. Is there like a, there seems to be like a little echo. What's going on?
Let me see if she's having technical difficulties.
Aw.
Nicole.
Can you hear me?
Oh, there we go.
There we go. Okay, so Nicole, I know that you started your own business. Is that correct?
I did. I haven't actually opened up yet, but I hope to be opening a boutique sometime soon, within the next 2 months or so. I've been in retail for about 7 years now, and I've kind of worked all over the place. And so I just figure now is the time to go out on my own and see if I can make this work, and I hope to, and it's going to be awesome.
That's
what
so exciting.
That's yeah.
Is it like a children's boutique? Or?
No, I'm starting out as only women's apparel at the moment. I kind of want to target a younger crowd, not super expensive, and then I hope to go into a small line of kids' clothing, maybe a little bit of maternity because that's always super hard to find. And so we'll see where it takes me. I'm going to start off small, and then I'll branch out from there.
Awesome. So the reason that we wanted to feature Nicole this week is because Nicole happens to have a lot on her plate. Nicole is a mom. She's an amazing wife, and she's also a business owner. So that goes along very well with our topic this week, relationships after childbirth. So tonight's show is all about moms and dads after they have kids. Shay?
Hey, so wait a second. I wanted to, so how many kids does Nicole have? I didn't hear.
She has two.
Oh, two. Little girls, little boys?
Nicole.
Two girls?
Two little girls. One is 4 and one is 18 months.
Oh, awesome. That's so cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to introduce our topic. Now, a lot of baby books, at least in my opinion, focus on one of two things. One, the actual birth. Two, parenting. Not that these things aren't important. They're very important. But a huge piece of this puzzle is missing. Relationships. After months of being pregnant and then the first 6 months of the newborn fog, I've noticed that a lot of couples start to walk back into reality and are shocked and confused as to why everything is just so different. Something changes. Shannon, Shay, do you agree with me?
Oh, yeah. Especially after your first. I mean, well, I guess, I don't even know. I guess after each one. But for me, the biggest shock was after my birth. I mean, everything changed. I remember the night before I had him, which was like 4 years ago almost, me and my husband were sitting on the couch like we usually did after work or whatnot, after school, and we were just, you know, we watched a movie pretty much every single night. And the next morning, like, I had him, and all I kept thinking was, like, I'm never going to sit down and watch a movie again with my husband.
Oh, my God.
Like, what's happening?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so bizarre.
So it's something that no one ever talks about, but something does change after that little bundle pops out. Something changes not only with you, but also I've noticed with everyone around you, with your relationships, with your family, with your significant other, with your parents. So a lot of this is really important, and I feel like it's something that needs to be addressed, and it's something that we really need to bring up, the fact that you go from carefree lovebirds playing house to parents. And I think there's a huge balance that people need to learn with baby, marriage, self, and it needs to happen overnight, and it's something that happens while you're majorly sleep-deprived.
To say the least.
Shay, do you want to give us some feedback? What happened when you had your kids? How did you deal with the change?
You know, okay, so after my first one, you know, another thing, well, I'll tell you what another hard issue was for me was that I breastfed, and my first one, I was so into, like, I needed to be hidden, I needed to be in a room where I nursed, and he nursed nonstop every second. So when my best friends came over and they were so excited to see me and I was so excited to see them, it was super hard because I'd be like, I kept saying, they'd come over for like 2 hours and the whole time they were over, I'd be in a room separated from them the whole time. You know, they'd be waiting for me to come out and I'm like nursing.
Oh my God.
So embarrassed for anybody to see me. But I mean, that kind of ended. The second, third kid, you know, I just nurse anywhere now. Like, there's no, I'm not hiding anymore. I'm not going to be hiding in a closet or, you know, going here or there. Like, you'll never see anybody, I feel like. But transitioning-wise, yeah, it's just so different with your first one. With friends, especially friends that don't have children yet, they don't quite understand. Like, I miss a few, you miss a lot of things, like, I remember my best friend had a bachelorette party. She was getting married, and I just had my first, and she didn't have any children yet. And it was just like, I didn't know if she quite understood. Like, it's kind of like there's a little bit of betrayal type thing, but it's like, what are you supposed to do?
Oh, no. I have the same type of situation with my friend. She was getting married, and she wanted me to be a bridesmaid. And I was super honored. Like, it was an amazing, like, I was so excited to be a bridesmaid. But I think that people don't realize when they don't have children is that I physically couldn't be there for her as a bridesmaid as much as she wanted me to. And thank God she was a really good sport about it, but still, it was, I couldn't drive to wherever she was, you know, before the party. I couldn't make her a bachelorette party between work and children and everything else going on. It just, like, I almost felt like I had to tell her I couldn't do it.
Exactly. Yeah, I was a maid of honor for my best friend, and I just had my son, and I'm like, you know, what in the world? There's no way possible. I'm nursing him. You know, he's a newborn. There's no way. It was so sad. Like, I wanted to be there for her, but at the same time, I don't think, like, they quite understood that I couldn't do everything. Like, it was really hard for me also.
Yes.
Before I had him, I'm like, gung-ho, like, I'll be there, no problem. Like, also with myself, I didn't know what to expect afterwards. Like, you always think everything's going to be fine and dandy while you're pregnant, especially at first. And then afterwards, it was just like, it hits you. Like, so many changes, so many things. You don't know what to expect.
Nicole, what are some common problems and mistakes that you've noticed with other couples and yourself that are kind of are a common factor when after someone has a child with their relationships around them?
So one is, like, it's really super hard to, like, just go out and be with your husband, just the two of you. And, you know, you have to remember to work on your relationship with your husband after baby, because that totally changes. And it's really, like, he may feel jealous because you're spending more time with the baby, and, you know, you are kind of torn in two. Like, it's a whole new adjustment to get used to. So I think it's really important after you have kids, like, to really work on your relationship with your husband as well, one-on-one, and really make that, you know, a priority, as, you know, like getting a babysitter and going out at night without kids.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, just really focusing on that as well. It's, like, super important. You know, your marriage can kind of get lost in the, you know, in the way of life, just kind of...
In the baby fog.
Yeah, totally. I mean, sleep deprived, nursing, like, between all these things, it's really, really hard to focus on your husband as well. But it's so important, and we just really need to keep that in mind, that working on a marriage is just as important as, you know, being with the baby, and your husband is also, you know, he's there, but he's... It's kind of, it's, everything changes. The whole dynamic changes after you have a kid, and let alone two kids, you know, it's really, you're kind of torn in many different areas and many different places, and trying to please many people at once. And it's really a difficult task, but, you know, you just have to prioritize pretty much. And I feel like you get through it. Like, it's really not.
It's so funny that you mentioned two kids, because for me, I totally felt like after one, once I've gotten through and I'm into that family life, like, two was just like whatever. It was just, it was amazing, but it wasn't like, I didn't feel like it was harder with my relationships. I felt like that was already changed, and he just kind of blended into the family life. I didn't feel like anything drastically changed after number two. I felt like there was a ridiculous change when number one happened, but number two was not, it was just like, whatever. What was that?
Oh, no, I was going to say, this is Shay. I was going to say, not to me, I feel like with the first, I feel like with, when I have three children now, so with each one, and even my second, I feel like the relationship with my husband and friends don't change that much, as much, but with the relationship also with the children, it was hard for me.
Oh, yeah.
My second one, I mean, it was just from, I think me personally also, like, I was so close and so attached to my first one, and when the second one came, it was so hard for me, like, having to give up a little bit of that little, you know, my first baby, because he was still so young. They're 17 months apart. So my husband had to take the role of, like, putting him to sleep and you know, making sure he gets enough love for my husband so I can take care of the baby. And then when I had my third, the second one, you know, like, the second one had such an issue with, like, kind of like jealousy issues. And you have to really try to prioritize, like you guys were saying, and really try to make sure each child is loved enough. Each child has enough individual one-on-one time. So now when the two younger ones sleeping, I spend as much time as I can with the older one, like learning or, you know, watching a little documentary or something cute that he likes doing. So I feel like a lot of times he just gets, it's sad, but he gets kind of pushed aside. Like, he's older, so, you know, more responsibilities on him. But I really try to focus and make sure it doesn't happen. It's a lot of work, but
yeah. I mean, you have to pretty much go from just kind of yourself. I mean, even honestly, like when you're married, even if you're married, me and my friends have this ongoing joke that we kind of just consider everyone before they have kids, like they're just single. Like even though they're married, they're still just like living a single life. I feel like you're not really a person until you have kids.
Oh, my God. I feel the same way. Like, you can do whatever you want before you have kids, and then once you have kids, it's, like, totally buckle down. Like, whoa there, a whole life thing.
You're not really a person. You're still, like, a kid. You could be, like, 30. You could be 40. You could be 50. If you don't have kids, like, I just feel like you're just, like, you really just, I don't know. I know that sounds horrible, but, I mean, I just, it's how I feel. It's just, like, kind of how it is. You have that freedom that... Not that parents don't have, parents have something else, but that responsibility of a child, I don't think anything competes with that. Even, like, the most demanding job is not, it doesn't all consume your life like a child does.
No, 100%.
And honestly, I feel like it really makes you a much better person. before I had kids, even though I don't think I was a particularly selfish person, but once you have children, you just really every part of and every aspect of your life becomes, there's always in the back of your head, my children. Is this good for my children? Am I being a good person for my children? Am I showing them everything you do, even when you're not with them? I feel like it really saturates every part of your life. So I feel like it was really different with other people, especially with people who didn't have children, but also the people who did have kids, they're not used to this new you. They're not used to you changing overnight, because you do. You change overnight. I felt like, I was all of a sudden, I wasn't just Roxy. I was a mother, and that was my title. I was a mother first before anything. You get into mama bear mode. You get into, you know what I mean. And then that's hard with you and your husband, because normally you're just this carefree person, but then you have this significant other and you kind of have to both learn how to kind of separate your lives into sections. I feel like you have to make sure you have time for your marriage, make sure you have time with your children, make sure you have time with the family unit, and then there's also you time. And you need to learn how to organize this fairly quickly.
Yeah, and it's also you can't blame the people that don't have kids, because to them, they're extremely busy. Like, I remember before I had kids, it's hard to remember, but I do a little bit. you're like extremely busy also, but then it just feels like, I don't know. It's just like God somehow gives you that extra push. Like, I don't know. I feel like, he only gives you how much you can, so much you can handle type of thing. I don't know. I feel like when he gives you, you have another child, you just automatically get that extra ability to do the extra mile, go the extra mile, if you have another kid and you have a second kid and it gives you a little bit more, you don't think you could take any more, but then when it happens, it's crazy. So I feel like when my friends that, that are not, I also call them single, the ones that are married even, that don't have children, but the people that don't have kids, it's just, you can't blame them. They have no idea what it's like. They don't, and they have no idea, they're not up at night. You could tell them you're up at night, you're doing this, you're whatever.
No one understands that torture. Nobody.
How can you fathom it? How can you fathom it? Doesn't, unless they're there, you have no idea what it's like. And how sleep deprived and exhausted you are, and how extremely
busy
you are.
But I think the main thing is that I don't think you and your significant other really understand how different it is and how much it changes you until, 6 months in, when you're kind of like coming out of that baby fog after you've just had your first child.
I totally agree. Like, I wasn't prepared at all for my first one, let alone the fact that she cried for the first 6 months of her life. So, holy moly. Yeah. And then, finally coming out of it, it's like, whoa, life has changed drastically. And, kind of just trying to, figure out life as it is now. Not that it's a bad thing, it changed for a good thing, but it's just, you gotta kind of have to sit down and figure out, prioritize yet again. I feel like life is always about reprioritizing your life, and, everything always changes, and you kind of have to work with it as a mom and as a wife. It's kind of like you have to roll with the punches.
So, Nicole, do you have any solutions or tips that you'd like to give people, especially listening, if there's, someone who's about to have a child or, just for the future, or even moms that are, just out there listening who already have children, is there any tips that you'd give them for helping the transition or even just, helping with their relationships now?
Well, one major tip that I would totally give to anybody is, when you have kids or when you just had your first kid or, always accept help. Don't say no. If somebody offers, say yes. The answer is yes.
That's smart.
you'll pay them back when you can, but if somebody's offering, they mean it, and the answer is yes. You need the help, and don't be scared to say yes. So
don't be scared to ask.
Exactly. Totally.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask as well. That's true.
Right. Don't wait for people to come knocking on your door, because, people get caught up in their own lives, but they definitely want to help. But,
exactly.
Don't be scared to ask.
Exactly.
You know, it's funny. A big thing that I've noticed with couples when they first have a child, or even like, you know, 6 months down the road, is that they take themselves way too seriously. It's like all of a sudden we have kids and it's the end of the world if anything happens. If you get in the smallest fight or the littlest argument, or you feel like you're bickering a lot with your spouse, and they just like get so like they just get so wrapped up in it, and they just feel like it's the end of the world. And I feel like it's so important for people to remind you, listen, you're not like the first person to have a child. This happens to everybody. Like, you can't get so upset or so wrapped up in these little bickering, the little arguments that you get in with your spouse. You know, you guys love each other. You have to remember that you love each other to death. And you have to remember that it's totally fine. It's normal. People bicker. That's how you work things out. You know, you go through these ups and these downs where, you know, you're arguing a lot, but then you work it out. I think
and
it's really important to have, what was that?
Yeah, I was also going to say, Roxy, like, I agree with that. You have to work it out, and you have to really express yourself. As women, men don't know is on. They have no idea what's on your mind. And for our hormones, like, I don't even know what that word means, I feel like. You really have to express what's going on, because after I had my first, like, for me personally, like, I didn't have postpartum depression, but you know, I was crying left and right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at least, you know, especially the first 2 weeks. Like, and you don't know what to expect when you first have kids, how much pain you're going to be in those next days. And the pain, you know, the pain of nursing, the pain of this, the pain of that. You really have to explain to them because, you know, my husband, he's great, thank God. He's great with everything. He's great with the children. And transitioning, I think he takes it better than me most of the time. But you really have to explain to your husband why, what's going on, what you know, like, even though you may not know yourself all the time, but explain to them, like, you know, that it's just your hormones and you have to really work with me right now. You know, I was speaking to my friend, and a lot of times their husbands get upset with them, like, why are you crying? Explain to me what's going on. Let me help you. Let me fix it. There's no fixing it. You just have to be helpful. You just have to, like, it's okay, hon. It's all right. You know, like, you tell your husband that's all you need, pretty much. Like, just be supportive. There's no fixing it, or there's no, you know, like, they just, husbands are kind of, like, they're just goofy. They don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
Just
they say that the number one problem after you have children, when I was doing some research, was that women become, or the mothers, or the caretakers, I should say, become very resentful of the fathers or whoever's out working, because at the end of the day they go back to work and you're at home, and even if you're just at home for 6 or 12 weeks, you're still the one who's at home with this new child, and you're the primary caretaker. And it's really hard for men because they don't really understand, you know, as much as they try to understand, it's hard for them to realize how much for the women, how hard it is, the pain and the change. And just everything,
exactly.
It's so hard for them to understand what women are going through.
Right. Exactly. And also don't be, like, again, to reiterate it, don't be afraid to ask for help. Like, when your husband gets home, for me now that I have three, I call him when he's on his way from work, on way home from work, and I'm like, you get home from work and I'm going out. Like, just certain days, I'm like, I've had it, that's enough. I need to go out. I need to spend some time by myself, whether it's, you know, to go grocery shopping, run to go get more diapers, whatever it is, I'm out of the house, and you just need your break. You have to remember, like, it's okay to take breaks, and it's okay to, you know, it's normal. It is normal. Take some time. Take some mommy time.
Yes, time it's so important to have me time. Go work out. Go get yourself.
Work
you know,
out,
go,
yes.
Go move a little bit. Get your body working again, and just, you know, it'll make you feel better about yourself, and make everything around you feel better, and just, you know, overall, it's
mm-hmm.
so important to take me time. It's not, don't forget.
We're back to that quote, happy wife, happy life.
It's true.
Best quote.
I like it. I like that.
But it's true, you know, you got to take care of yourself so that you can take care of the rest of the relationships around you. Something I wanted to bring up that I felt like was so important with us with the whole, like, taking yourself not too seriously, we really enjoy doing shenanigans with each other. And I know that sounds crazy, but it really lightens up the mood, and it gives you something to really laugh about. And you know what? Even we still talk about some of the things that we've done for, you know, months after it's happened. But one of the things that me and my husband do to make sure, like, we're keeping it, you know, alive and we're keeping life fun and not so serious, because as you know, after you have kids, a lot of your life becomes very serious between money and just day-to-day life and the lack of sleep. You know, it's very easy to fall into that very serious role. So what me and my husband do is we actually pull pranks on each other. And I know that sounds crazy,
oh,
but you know what? It's really amazing. I'll give you an example. My husband is always, you know, he takes himself way too seriously. He has these ideas that, for instance, that he needs his cup of coffee in the morning. That if he doesn't have his cup of coffee, he is going to melt or something, like the Wicked Witch of the West. Like, if you pour water on her, she's going to melt. Like, that. If he doesn't have his coffee, he's going to melt. So a couple months ago, I bought decaf, and I switched it out into the regular.
Yeah. Are you talking about?
Or I was going to do it for a week, but I couldn't do it. I was laughing too hard. Every day I asked him, I'm like, he would pour that cup of coffee, and I'd be like, babe, how you feeling today? And he'd be like, I feel, you know.
Oh,
I feel
my
fine.
Gosh.
Wow,
that is so hysterical.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I'm not feeling too well. Have you been having headaches also? No headaches, nothing, tons of energy, totally fine. By
no
the end
way.
Of the third day. Yeah. By the end of the third day, I had to tell him. I had to. I was like, you know that you're drinking decaf.
That is hilarious.
Literally the best day of my life. I couldn't.
That's
a
good idea.
I
like it.
It was so funny. And, you know, he pulls pranks on me all the time. And, you know, you take it in stride. But any way, I think, to make your life a little bit less serious is so important. Just to, like, lighten up the mood and have something to laugh about. Whichever, you know, whether it's giving, you know, having pranks with him or just having a good laugh with him. Whatever kind of rituals that you can incorporate into your life with your spouse, I think is so important for the relationship.
Right. You're so right on that.
I agree. It's funny. I was thinking of recently, I'm trying to switch us over. Well, I have been graduating. My husband, it's harder to switch my husband over to more natural things. It's easy for food. I do grocery shopping. I buy. I cook. But recently, I've made my own deodorant, but I want to switch his deodorant because he has, like, there's a lot of crap in deodorant. You know, there's aluminum, there's this, there's that. So I hid my husband's deodorant and his toothpaste. He had like four different ones. I hid them.
Oh my gosh.
And I bought him some Toms. I bought him some cedarwood smelling stuff. I don't know, off Amazon. I bought a ton of stuff. And I put it all in his cabinet, closed it for the next morning, you know, for work when he gets up. He called me from work and he's like, what the hell? I want my deodorant. I want my toothpaste back now.
Oh,
he hasn't gotten back, but.
Did he laugh about it?
He did. He definitely tells everybody, but he's not getting it back.
But he's not getting it back? Does
no,
he like what you made him?
No, actually, I didn't make it. He definitely wouldn't have even tried that. I bought him stuff off of Amazon, like Tom's and, I don't know, some other crazy granola brand, whatever else. But he's using them, I mean. It works.
You know what? If it works, that's all that counts.
Exactly. Yeah, and also, going back to having the, you know, it's important to spend time, you know, make time for your husband even when you have kids. I'm staying at my sister-in-law's house, and I was just discussing with her yesterday. It's funny. Her husband owns a parking lots in New York. So he has to plow. It just snowed, and he has to plow his own parking lots, you know, for the next day. And she told me that. I was like, oh, that must be really hard for you guys because he has two kids and she's pregnant right now. She's like, well, actually, a lot of times when he has to do that, they just pack up all the kids, get in the car, they stop at Starbucks and, like, make a date out of it. Like, the kids fall asleep in the back. They're out till, like, 12 or
Oh, that's amazing.
So cute. I thought it was adorable. I'm like, that makes a lot of sense.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love that.
Quality time with the hubby. You know,
yeah,
exactly. In the back. Why not?
Yeah, if you can. Well, yeah, exactly. Why not? I thought it was adorable.
Oh, that's so good. I love that idea. You know, whatever you can do to, another thing is not getting so set in your schedule. Some people are all about, like, make sure your kids go to sleep in their crib in the same place. I can sleep anywhere.
I know, me too.
As soon as they're born, it's so important for me to make sure that they go to sleep in different places and they're used to different places so that they can have a life.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And don't hush up your house. Like, don't keep it crazy quiet either. My kids really find it soothing with the noise. And, I mean, we've traveled a lot. We've always had. So when we go to different places, they even sleep better now that, like, the crazy noise in the airport or the beach and the talk from the restaurant or whatever. It's like, yeah, they can sleep. Like, they enjoy that, which makes it much easier on us rather than, oh, no, it's 7 o'clock. Get in bed.
Get
in that little bed with, you know, like,
yeah.
That, you know, that's really hard. Doesn't work.
Nicole, do you have any, what do you guys do to keep it spicy?
What do we do? My life is kind of crazy at the moment.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Slightly. But what do? I don't even know. I mean, in the summertime, we go to the beach every Sunday. We just moved, so we're not so close to the beach anymore, so we'll see what we end up doing. But, yeah, every Sunday is a beach day, and that's so much fun. We have a great time.
That's really nice. Vacation's good, definitely.
Yeah, you need
to get out of the house. Even not staycation, but, like, I was telling Roxy, it's nice even to go down the street and enjoy. My husband and I also do that a lot. We just go down the street to the hotel and spend a weekend at the local hotel. Like, it's not your house. It's something different. The kids get to go swimming. I mean, that's a big thing that we do.
Yeah,
that's
no,
amazing.
Great.
Yeah, we don't go anywhere. We're just chilling at the hotel right down the street.
You know what? It's the same thing as, it's the same thing as going to, like, Florida. I mean, with your kids, it's like, you know, it's just a change of scenery. So might as well, you know, you can go down the street or you could go to.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah,
it's so funny. A lot of people get, that's another thing about going away. Actually, Shay, you gave me that idea. We've done it, you know, occasionally before when we went on, like, real vacation. But something we recently started doing was what you gave me the idea for, was just to go somewhere else, just to sleep somewhere else as a family unit, just to go for a hotel, for a weekend, for a day even. It makes such a difference to go with your kids. You really bond as a family. And I think it's so important to have that bonding time with your family unit.
Yeah,
right. You know,
exactly.
So you get so wrapped up in, oh, who's going to watch the kids? Take your kids with you. Take your kids wherever you can go. If you can go somewhere and you won't be able to go if you leave your kids, take your kids. You'll have a good time. You'll bond as a family. You know, another thing is that a lot of times people have children, I've definitely noticed this, is that they get so wrapped up in who they were, what they had, what their life used to be. And something that's so important, and I think that there literally should be a manual for this, when people have children, they should give you this in the hospital, is your life, your old life, that was your old life. That was great. That was fabulous. You know, I hope you have lots of pictures of that. But you have a new life now. This is a totally different life. You have to accept the fact that your life will never be the same. And it's totally awesome, and it's great, and you have to rock it. You have to really accept what you have now and understand that it's totally different, but it's totally okay. And it's more than okay. It's going to be fabulous, as long as you make it fabulous.
Yeah, you have to make it fabulous, because a lot of people get really depressed, like, oh, I can't do this anymore. I can't do that anymore. But once you get in the groove, and like we were saying, being able to travel with your kids, being able to do things with the kids and just have them come along. Don't stress about, oh, I need somebody to watch them in order to have fun. I need, you know, like I can't do anything without, with my children. Then that's, you know, not going to, it's not going to work. You need to make it, like you said, make it work. Make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. You really do. You have to rock it. You have to get out there. You have to go places. You have to take your kids places. You have to be a fearless warrior. That's honestly how I think of it. You can't be scared to take your kids places. You know, honestly, like, you know, you're an adult. You can handle it. Even if you have, you know, 2-3 kids. Shay, you have 3 kids. You take them everywhere.
Yes, I do.
You literally are fearless.
I recently went to my friend's house, and I feel like it's worse when you have only one child. Some of my friends, they have one kid, and it's like the end of the world. It's like, oh, I don't know how we could ever have another child. I mean, the schedule and then this and then that. And, like, I don't say anything, like, okay. But I'm just thinking in my head, like, how hard could it be? I just, you know, I try not to judge them because everybody's different. But
my second kid was in the hospital after she was born because she got sick. And it was so difficult juggling life at home. And I was in the NICU with her and she was there for 5 days. And it was really hard. And the nurse turns to me and she goes, I'm telling you, nobody knows this, but you're really not a parent till you have 2 kids. I'm like, oh, my God, it's so true. Like, wow, you know, there's just, as much as it was an easy adjustment, it was just like there's a lot more to juggle. Just, you know, everyone's a responsibility. But
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't imagine being in the NICU. Oh, you know what? I don't know why
that's
I said that,
hard.
I was in the NICU.
Yeah,
I was with my second also.
Oh, look at that.
I forget even it happened. It's like a fog.
The baby fog.
What?
The baby fog.
Yeah. You know what? I think it gets shorter with every child. The first child is 6 months, 6 solid months. I remember I looked at my husband looked at me after our first, and he said, babe, our baby was 3 months old, 3 weeks old. He looked at me and he's like, when is this going to be normal? And he had this like doomsday voice on. And then with our second, it was like by 3 weeks, we looked at each other because we remembered that from our first baby. And we were like, wow, what a difference. It's already like he's part of the family.
Yeah,
the end of the world. So we want to talk about more practical advice. You know, not a very important role is obviously your significant other, but how do you deal with your friendships, you know, with your friends around you? How do you deal with them and their, you know, you being a parent now and them maybe not being a parent or you just being completely different now that you've had a child?
It's funny because some of my friends who have kids the same ages as mine, like I've kind of drifted apart from them. And then some of my other friends who don't have kids the same ages as mine, I've kind of like, you know, come more close with. I don't know what it is, what it isn't, but it's nice to, it's amazing, like having your old friends and then their kids and having everybody over and having the kids play together, like, I find it to be the best feeling ever. Like, we're good friends, they're good friends. Like, what more could you ask for? Like, it's awesome. Definitely relationships do change, you know, friendships and whatnot after you have kids. But, you know, everybody, hopefully your friends will understand if they have kids too. You know, they understand that the first few weeks are really difficult and kind of like adjusting to new life, and you know, it does get back into normal, but it's kind of like a waiting period, I feel like, of like a few months after you have a kid, that it's, you know, your friends need to be there for you, and they kind of know that, I feel like, but it's, you know, it's totally an adjustment for everybody, and I don't know.
Yeah. So it looks like we're coming close to our break. So we just wanted to introduce our featured artist this week, which is Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey, the 27-year-old Elizabeth Grant. She made it big after changing her name to Lana Del Rey and uploading her single Blue Jeans onto YouTube. She gets a lot of her inspirations from quote unquote landscapes. So we really, I really enjoy her music. I know Shay does. We wanted to feature her this week because her lyrics are absolutely beautiful. She really puts a lot of thought into her music. And I think she definitely has an interesting old world kind of tune. So we're going to go into our break now. And this is Ana Del Rey. You're listening to the Roxy Rose Show.
We were born to die. that open road. You can be my full-time daddy while I'm gone. Singing blues has been getting old. You can be my full-time baby, I'll hold. Don't break me down.
If anyone wants to call in, our number is 347-838-9540. We'd love to hear what you have to say. Shay, are you on?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Nicole, our featured guest is with us tonight. Nicole?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. We're discussing relationships after childbirth.
Now, just a recap of what we've been talking about. A lot of times people don't realize, because they do not talk about it in the baby book, is relationships change. Wah, wah.
Everything changes.
Everything changes. Which, you know, is not a bad thing, but as you know, most people do not like change. It's scary, it's different, and you have to learn a whole new way of living. So this whole episode is dedicated to talking about different ways to deal with that, especially the husband, wife, or significant other department, and trying to learn how to deal and make, you know, not only deal with, but make your life fabulous, because this is your new life, and we need to go on with the show and make it real and make it awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and one other thing, Roxy, one other thing was, also I was thinking about was, it also, when you get all, like, it's hard to explain it, but when you get into it, like, you feel like this is, like, your life, right? But it's not your life forever. There's always stages. It's not going to last. You're not going to have toddlers for the rest of your life. You will move on, and you're probably going to miss it tremendously, I'm guessing, once you're in your latter years. But, you know, that's the biggest thing. Make it the best you can right now, because you're never going to have it again. Like, you're only going to have your little babies, your little toddlers for so long.
Yes.
So make it last. Make it happy.
You know, the thing is you are a parent the rest of your life. That is the truth. You're a parent the rest of your life. You will always worry about your kids. They will always be the first thing you wake up to thinking about, the last thing you go to sleep thinking about. But it changes, and it's no longer about diapers and this and that. It's now, you know, real life with your children that makes you worry. But like Shay said, it is different and it changes. And you need to be okay with that, because that's life, and that's, you know, what we're creating. We're creating, you know, a work of art, which is our lives. And if it stayed the same, we'd be boring and sad and probably depressed.
It is crazy. I'm telling you what. Like, right now, honestly, I'm on the road and I'm doing the show as well. I'll be honest with everybody. I'm in New York right now. My kids are over there. I don't usually let them watch TV, but they're watching Little Mickey Mouse, and I'm praying they're not going to knock my door down. and I'm sick, and it's just like, and, you know, everybody has their own thing, but it's just crazy.
Oh, God.
It's just crazy every day. Every day something else.
Jay, you're a rock star, though. Like, legit.
Yeah, we all are.
We all are, but you've really tapped into your rock stardom with your
abilities. Like you said, you really have to. Like, a lot of people ask me, how do you get out every day? How do you do this? How are you doing that? You just do it, because if I sit at home with my kids, I'll go crazy, they'll go crazy, my house will be destroyed. You have to just get your butt in the car, and that's my favorite thing of the day. You have to realize, like, you have to, like I said, like you said, spend time on yourself. Like, I love strapping my kids in their car seats. They're happy. I don't even know why they're happy, but they like it, and I love it. That's my office. That's my coffee shop.
Oh, my God.
My crochet. My, you know, I get all my stuff done. I pay my bills in my car. Everything. You just have to know what
God,
works 100%. For you and just do it.
100%.
Yeah, it's really hard to not have a routine when you're a mom, but it's so important to have a routine. You know, make sure you get yourself out of the house, and, you know, the kids also need to get out of the house. They're people too. They, you know, they get bored too. And so it's important to have that routine and make sure you're doing things and not just sitting at home being bored. And then when your husband comes home, you lash out at him because you haven't done anything all day. Like, it's a vicious cycle, so it's important to keep that routine.
So true.
Well, Nicole, I have to correct you. It's not that you didn't do anything all day. It's just that you did a lot of things in one place.
Right. No, you're 100% right.
It's seeing the outside world. It's so funny my husband never does it, but he would never ask me what I did all day, even if the house is a mess, because he knows damn well I did something. He knows not to ask that question. He probably has once or twice, but either way, it's like,
learn
his
lesson.
If you ask
quick.
Me, some people ask me, like, because I'm a stay-at-home mom, and some people that aren't, they ask me, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do all day? I can't even write it down on paper, but you don't stop. Like, it's just ridiculous. It's outrageous. It's non-stop and little people. And I'm sure with older kids as well. you're running the soccer games, running into this, running into that, you know, after school programs.
You need to be present. That's the thing with children is you need a lot of presence. And I think that you also step into a certain role when you become a mom. And I think that actually that happens to be a big part of problems with relationships after you have children is that you kind of step into this mommy role. And you need to remember that you have to be, like, a sexy wife also. Like, you can't just be, like, a scraggly mommy who has, like, poop on her fingers and a diaper in her pocket. Like, no, but really, like, I think that's hard to
remember. It's so true. It's, like, important not, you know, when your husband comes home, it's important to, like, look nice. And, you know, even though you've been, I feel like I have, like, a, okay, like, when it's time for bedtime, I got to change and get comfortable and, like, get into my mommy gear, you know, like, just take on that bedtime, you know. I got to get baths. I got to, like, do things. I got to be movable. I can't, like, be in sexy clothes, you know, like, it's important to, like, you know, look a little bit nicer when your husband comes home. So, like, after I take on bedtime and the kids go to sleep, you know, not that I change into something really beautiful and everything, but it's important to put yourself back together and look a little bit nice.
Yes.
Exactly. When he comes home. Yeah.
Something that people, specifically my sister, always notices is that when my husband comes home, I always get mad at him when he doesn't tell me, when he doesn't give me, like, 10-minute warning that he's on his way.
I know.
Because I literally need to go, and it's very important to me to go and put my face on and make sure I look presentable.
She's probably the one to go to because she does. She wears her 6-inch heels walking around her house. I'm like, what are you doing? You're not going out? And I'm like, are you crazy? She's like, this is what I wear. My husband likes these heels. I'm like, you are hysterical because I don't wear heels.
You know what I noticed is that a lot of people, once they have children, it's like, I don't know, the fire inside of them leaves. And they just feel like everything's, you know, in a way, once they're not super busy with the kids, I feel like it's all about me time. But what you need to understand is, yes, you need to take care of you, but you also need to remember that you need to also remember your relationship with your significant other. It has to be always on your mind is, you know, how is it going? So one of the things that I always like to bring up is that it's so important to sit down and have family meetings. It's so important. You need to sit down. You need to maybe go out when the kids are small and have a date night and just discuss the family, where you're standing, where you're holding, how you're feeling, you know, what you want to do better with, what's, you know, kind of lacking. So another thing is that people don't realize is that, you know, yeah, I wear 6-inch heels, but you know what? I have to, you know, if that was important to me before I had kids, I have to make sure it's still important that I look good in front of my husband.
True.
He does the same thing. He doesn't walk around, you know, all angry and nasty. You know, he comes home, he takes a shower, he makes sure he's presentable. He does things for me. You have to want to do things for your spouse. You have to keep that fire alive. And I think
it's
definitely,
hard. Yeah.
What was that?
Go ahead. No, you go.
I think keeping family meetings is so important. Even if your kids are little, you know, once they get older, to include them also. But just to have that standard that you have to keep is so important.
Great. I agree.
Totally important. For sure.
Each day, I just recently moved to Texas, so I started a whole new routine and finally got in the, you know, the groove of things, and I go to the gym every day at 10, and after the gym, I just, you know, I'd spend an hour, my kids go to the little childcare thing, and I'd go home, and then there's no time to take a shower. There's no time to do anything. So I'd be in my gym clothes. My husband would see my yoga clothes, like, nonstop. And he'd be like, what the hell? And I work out, and I even bought the same pink shirt. I saw it at a store. It was, like, $3 in the same, whatever. I had the same shirt. And he's like, what's going on with the yoga pants and this pink shirt? I'm sick of it. So then I realized, I have the child care at the gym for 2 hours. Why am I only staying an hour? They have a shower and they have a sauna and everything. So after the gym, after I work out, I go, I sit in the sauna for 10 minutes and I take a shower, I blow dry my hair, you know, like I get ready, put my makeup on, and then I'm ready for the rest of the day. Like, so he comes home to take a shower, or even past when he's sleeping, take a shower at the very, very end of the night. I realized that I need to use that up. Utilize that. Gym
you got to make sure you smell good before you go to bed.
Exactly. No, I wouldn't go
not
to bed.
Like, but up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
When I was working, it was the same thing. I would actually keep my kids at the babysitter for an extra half hour or an hour just to either go to the gym or just take a shower and have, like, 5 minutes to myself before I go home just to make sure I'm presentable for my main man.
True.
Right.
That actually keeps, you know, it makes me think of my next point that I really wanted to bring up, which is at-home dates. This is so important. I can't even tell you. I've spoken to so many couples, and they just don't think of this. And it's, like, the most mind-boggling thing because it's so important. You know, a lot of times people, when they have kids, they feel like they can't do anything unless they leave the house without their
mm-hmm.
children. It's so important to realize that your babysitter is 90% of the time not going to follow through. It's not going to work out. Something's going to come up. You won't be able to find one. You need to have a backup plan. Because your babysitter situation is not something that's always going to happen. And it's wonderful to actually be able to get a babysitter and leave the house. But if it doesn't happen, you need to make sure that you can be resourceful enough that you can do something at home. And this is something that is a staple of our lives, is that we have at-home dates. I know, Shay, I know you're really into this also. Nicole, I'm not so, I don't know what you're, I don't know, do you do this also?
Yeah, it's also really important, you know, like for an at-home date to, I mean, even if you're just sitting down to talk, but turn off your phone. Like, don't even have it nearby. Turn it off. It
oh,
just
yeah.
needs to be near. Like, it's just you and your hubby. Like, don't have any distractions. And, you know, it's so nice and peaceful and relaxing to just disconnect from everything for a little while.
I agree.
You know, play a game.
100%.
You know, just have fun. Like, just have fun, you know. I don't...
No, it's true. Recently, at home, a lot of times, I mean, myself, I'm you know, part of it. You get so attached to your phone. Your husband does. I do. I'm really like, you know, check your Facebook in half a second. You can check your email. You can check your messages. You know, somebody texts you, this, that. And then I noticed, and I've always wanted to cut back, but I never really, honestly, haven't done that. And I don't know. My husband's really big on it also. But as we're traveling, I'm over on the East Coast right now, and every weekend, my husband's in training in Virginia, but he meets me at my in-laws' house, at his parents' house every weekend. And they live in the middle of nowhere, and they get no – it was hard for me in the beginning, but they get no reception. They don't get – they don't have – you know, they have very little internet. You don't really use it unless you have to. You don't have – I have AT&T, and I get absolutely no service. Neither does my husband. So we get there. We plug our phones in. We don't touch them. You know, it's Friday and Saturday anyways, you know, Shabbos, but on Sunday – we don't, you know, we're there as well. All day, sunny. It's so relaxing. We go for walks, and we're really in the middle of the woods. Like, we go for walks. We, you know, we actually
that's are awesome.
Talking more. We're interacting, you know, playing games, this and that. It's just a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy it. I kind of, you know, I really
it's
like
funny.
That.
We actually had the same discussion this week, me and my husband. We decided we deleted our Facebook accounts and our Instagram accounts off of our iPhones just so that we don't go to our phones as often as we normally do, because even if we don't want to, it's so addictive. So we deleted
it
off of our phones so that it's not so easy, so that if we want to look at those things, we have to go to the computer, which is literally like once or twice a day that we
that's
have time
idea.
To sit at the computer. Yeah, because it was
so
just too much. You know,
really
it takes
nice
away
to disconnect.
From so much of your time, your family time, having that distraction. They say, I read an article in business that if your if an employee goes to check Facebook or email, it takes them 20 minutes to get back into, you really get back into flow with the tasks that they were doing when they went to go check their email or their Facebook or whatever.
I agree. I mean, I am very attached to it, but I like that. You deleted it from your phone. I don't even know why I'm addicted. It's just like you just, it's right there. You click really fast, but then you're like in it for another 10 minutes. But I like it. It really does.
It's a space out.
Yeah, true.
It's a really fun space out.
But,
you know, it's funny with our at-home dates, you know, we really like to get creative, and I'd love to hear what anyone out there wants to, you know, if anyone has anything to include about this. Again, our number is 347-838-9540. With any creative dates that anyone out there listening has had, we'd love to hear, because we've definitely gotten very creative over the years. We definitely try once a month to have, you know, we try to turn at least, you know, we go to a different room in our house other than our bedroom, and we set it up, like, as a restaurant slash, like, hotel room. And we like to turn it into, like, you know, maybe a little love fest with candles, stuff like that. I'm sure you get the idea. We get dressed up, food. It's important. I think it's very important to make these little dates. Another date we've done before in the past is we turned our living room into a club. We put special lights up, and we put the disco music on, and we got dressed
up. That's great.
That was a lot of fun. We had, like, a little bar.
Oh, my God.
You know, it's very important to do this. I mean, have you guys ever done that before?
Well, we have we do, like, a Mexican night. Like, we love Mexican food, so we do a whole, like, Mexican night. We make margaritas and do whole, like, themes like that, but
I love margarita night. It's my favorite night of the week.
Yeah, we love it.
My favorite time of the day.
Yeah.
Talking about margaritas, what are you guys drinking tonight?
Wine.
Shay, what do you got?
I got wine.
I got some pretty damn good wine.
I love wine.
Nicole, you have wine also?
I do, and it's awesome.
I
oh,
could
really?
Not live without wine. I could not live without my wine or my chocolate.
Or your chocolate. You know what? Those are my two also. Mine, the same.
Chocolate. The snow day, I think I downed like 3 bars of chocolate by myself. I was just trying to stay.
I know. It goes so fast.
My daughter was like, can I have some? No. Sorry. That's mine.
I know.
You know,
right?
It's funny. We were, me and my husband were recently going over our budget, and we were thinking about, you know, things that we could cut out, you know, things that we could get tighter on. And obviously, a big part of our bill goes to the liquor store. And we decided it was unanimous that we were going to keep that in our budget. I think to have a good marriage and be a good parent, you need a little break at the end of the day, and it's really important to have that sit down together over a nice bottle of wine.
It's true. It's very true. I really enjoy my wine at the end of the night.
Literally great. Worth every single drop.
It is. Such a nice relaxer. Cools you down.
But it's also, you know, it's kind of the aspect that you're kind of doing something scandalous with your significant other is, I think, a big factor in that.
Uh-huh.
You know, sitting down and having something, you know, it kind of reminds you of your old days.
Yeah, especially if the kids are sleeping. It's like, this is great.
Oh, God. The alcoholics of the century.
I know.
God,
we're really not alcoholics. We sound like we are, but we're not.
You know, we're happy. That's all that counts.
That's right. Don't judge, all right? People, don't judge us.
So another thing was we're winding down to the night, so we wanted to, I wanted to bring up the quote of the week. As you know, every week we have a special quote that we find that pertains to our subject. So this week, Barbara DeAngelis was picked as our winner to be announced. And it goes like this. Marriage is not a noun, it's a verb. It is something you get. It is not something you get, it's something you do. How do you guys feel about that?
That's great. It's always a work in progress. It's not just like, oh, one day you're married and, you know, it's easy as pie. Like, it's always a work in progress and you have to do it, you know? It's not like...
True.
It's not something that comes easy at all.
You also earn it. I mean, not to, like, and people, like, I think it's hilarious. Some people think it's like a 50-50 type of thing. I feel like it's 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Not 50-50. Like, you give your all, and then you'll get, you know, then your husband will give his all. You don't say, you know, like, you don't divvy it up. Like, oh, you do this, I'll do this. You do that, you do that. Like, you just try your best. I mean, I feel like if you try your best, your husband will also notice that, and he'll try his best, or vice versa.
So true. You really, and another thing is that I feel like a lot of times people get so stuck in what the other person is doing for them how that person is making them feel, and they kind of lose sight of the fact of what are you contributing? What are you, you
it's
know, adding
hard.
To this?
I've done it. I've definitely done that.
I've you done know? It. Hell yeah, I've done it.
Yeah, it's hard. You really have to work on yourself, like, nonstop.
Yeah, but it's also, you have to remember that a lot of times if you're stagnant in your life or you're feeling, you know, miserable in general, a lot of times it's easy to put the blame on your marriage. And a lot of times I think it's very important to realize is that it's not just your marriage. It's a lot of times it's you, and you have to make sure that you're a healthy person and that you're happy yourself. And you can't just, like, pin that on someone else, you know, mainly
yep.
the person who's closest to you.
Blame game. Yeah,
sometimes,
true.
Yes, sometimes you just need a change in life. Sometimes you just, you know, maybe you need to move, or maybe you need to go on vacation, or maybe you need to do something. Maybe you're just feeling stagnant. You know, it's not fair to say that it's the other person. You know, always take two to tango. That's, you know, my biggest motto in life.
No, so true.
Mm-hmm.
You got to always mm-hmm. want to give to the other person. You know, but obviously there's always situations that come up. There's always, you know, random, like, craziness
yeah.
that they obviously really do have a problem. But a lot of it is just, you know, you have to remember you want to give to this person, you want to have a good life with this person.
Yeah,
you
we're talking about pretty healthy relationships. I mean, there's definitely other relationships where there's, you know, abuse or this or that, but we're pretty much talking about, like, pretty normal relationships. I mean, you especially in the beginning, you have to work pretty hard and to get a normalcy going on. Like, I feel like as much as you give, your husband's going to notice and he'll give back.
Right.
Yeah.
There's always that saying, if you treat him like a king, he'll treat you like a queen.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. That's great. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, set the table for him at
Nicole,
night.
Nicole,
you know, just
write
make a
that
nice...
down.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Go for it. Go for
and isn't it? What were you going to say? What happened?
I was going to say that, like, you know, if you just set the table kind of nicely for him for dinner, I'm not saying go all out, but just, you know, set the table for him. So, you know, don't be like, oh, dinner's in the fridge or dinner's in the stove.
Yeah.
And, you know, make him get it himself. Like, set a nice little place setting for him. And it'll
exactly.
make him feel good. And he'll want to do the same to you.
I try making yeah. it fancy. I really try present. Like, it's funny, I can care less what mine looks like, but for him, really, every night, I really try making his look nice. I give him whatever, I give him a fork, this and that, and mine's usually, like, in a bowl with a spoon, plastic spoon.
Oh, God.
It's just how it happens. I don't even know why or how, it just does, but, and he notices, it's nice, he appreciates it, but.
Right.
Right.
You got to keep it interesting. You got to keep it nice. It's funny, when my husband is not home, I actually, like, literally I'll have cereal for dinner.
Oh, my gosh. 100%.
Literally I'll have cereal.
That's the best dinner.
I know. And when my husband's home, it's like I have to have, like, a 5-course meal every night.
Oh, my gosh. It's so true. If my husband's gone, I will have soup. Well, I'll have a little salad, or I'll have, like, rice and beans.
Oh, yeah.
Or...
You know what? But it's good. It's good that way. You know, if you got to, with men especially, you know, obviously there's always an exception, but I feel like as long as you keep them fed and something
yeah.
else, they're happy. Feeding them is very important.
Yep.
feeding them is a very big part of their lives. When they come home, they just want a nice hot plate of food waiting for them. Shay.
Hey.
Are you there? I thought I lost you.
I'm sorry. I'm here. Hey, hey, hey.
Shay, I know that you have a featured product. I know every week we do a featured product of the week. I do. So we wanted to hear what you got for us this week.
Sure. Okay. Like I said earlier, I was I'm staying in New York right now, and my brother-in-law just picked up a product that he's selling, and I tried it. He had a few samples, whatnot. It's called Matt's Munchies. Have you guys heard of it?
What was that? Can you say that again?
Matt's, M-A-T-T-S, Munchies.
Oh, my God. I just ordered a ton of them online. We're obsessed with them.
No way. You've had Matt's Munchies before? I've never heard of it before. You told me about it.
Oh, my God. They're awesome. They're like these all-natural little fruit leathers.
Yes, exactly. The gluten-free.
They're fantastic.
Yeah, so he's buying into the business, investing in it, and he brought some home for us to try, and I'm like, wow, these are amazing. I've never had them. I really enjoy them.
I made an order online today. That's funny.
That's awesome.
For all the people out there who have no idea what Matt's Munchies are, what are they?
So like Nicole said, they're fruit leathers. Type of thing. You can find them in like Whole Foods and pretty much any health food store. Also random little newspaper stores, I don't know, convenience store type things. But they're really healthy. They're gluten-free, kosher. I really like them. Great for kids,
I like the mango flavor.
Yeah, I just had mango and coconut.
Yeah, my husband loves that one. I don't like coconut, so that's why
I'm obsessed.
That one, but,
Nicole,
how did
you find them?
My husband, when he was in California recently, picked them up and he brought them home and he's like, hey, have you seen these? And I was like, no. And he was obsessed with them and my kids love them. So
that's awesome.
It's a great little snack. Yeah.
Where did you
really
order
funny.
Them from?
What?
Where did you order them from?
I just ordered them on the Matt's Munchies website.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yep. It's almost like a treat, you know, but it's really healthy.
I love those. My kid thinks that dates are a treat, so.
Dates, yeah. Same here.
Strawberries. He's like, Mommy, can I have another strawberry? Not until you finish your dinner.
I know. my oldest son, Sia, will inhale a whole thing of blueberries, like, obsessed.
It's so funny because I think that's why I'm so into not introducing, processed foods and candy until they're older, because literally they find strawberries to be, like, a special treat, which is awesome,
yeah.
I think.
They're so sweet. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I mean, they are when you think about it. Like, back in the day, like, what was a treat?
Strawberries. Exactly. Exactly. They love them.
So we've pretty much gone through, you know, different ways of keeping your relationship hot and spicy. You know, I think that the main thing is just to really make sure that you don't take yourself too seriously, you get creative, and you definitely, a big thing is respecting your other spouse, respecting your significant other, and sitting together and trying to find out a way to make it work, because your life is always changing. Yeah. Communication. I think communication is literally the most important thing of a relationship, is just being able to communicate, and especially with your spouse, to let them know how you're feeling and let them know how things are going and any concerns that you have, and trying to get them to understand what you're going through and trying to understand what they're going through. Shay, did you say something? Hello? Hello?
Roxy?
Oh, did we lose you?
Oh, hey. Nope. Here.
Oh, there you are. So, did you have any other tips that you thought you know, you'd want to let the listeners know before we head out?
Any other tips? Let me think. I was going to say one of the products.
Tell me about the other product.
Okay, it's just, I don't know, a lot of people probably have it, but it's, if you guys, my sister-in-law also has it here, but it's a seltzer machine. You guys have that?
Oh, yeah, I have that.
I'm obsessed. Do you?
Yeah, it's the staple of our lives.
Man, I love it. I always have cans at home, but I'm here, and, like, it's seltzer on tap. It's amazing.
It's literally the best thing. Most of my friends that come over, as soon as they get here, they whip that thing out as fast as you can say candy snacks.
I know. It's great. I have to buy one when I get home. I really like it a lot. Like
with it, it's called, you have the Soda Stream, right?
Yeah, that's what it is, Soda Stream, yes.
Oh, my God, amazing. I don't actually use the soda canisters.
Oh, yeah, not the soda, but the seltzer.
Is there, like,
the seltzer
flavors?
Is awesome.
Are there flavors in it, or it's just plain?
So they have flavors, which I don't use.
Flavors. Oh, I use
But
the
they
flavors.
Do have flavors. You can make flavored soda and flavored seltzer.
Carbonated water.
Or carbonated water. Thank you.
Interesting.
Exactly.
One more thing
that I wanted to bring up before we go, before our show ends, is that a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of times you get into a relationship, you think that it's going to be perfect. You think it's going to be bliss.
Yeah.
You see, like,
I hear
angels
you.
In the background, you know, a harp playing. And you know what? It is bliss. It is. It's all what you make it out to be. It's all what you think in your head. If you focus on the bad, it will be bad. If you focus on what you do have, and if you're grateful for the things that you do have in your life, then it will be awesome. But the main point is that to have passion, and I think this is so important. It's okay if you fight. It's really all right. It's okay if you get into an argument now and again. At least you have the passion. And I think that's so important for people to remember, is that you have passion in your lives, and that's what's important. And let me tell you something. Every single couple out there in the nation, in the world, they all have arguments. And thank God you're working through it and that you're sitting there and you're fighting for what's important to you.
You mean
Shay,
you guys
you
have arguments?
What was that?
You guys have arguments through your little disco nights over there?
No, you mean after a disco night?
Just a funny shenanigan that goes on in my house sometimes. My husband will stick the wireless speaker near me, and I won't realize. And he'll go on his iPad, and he'll start playing me music. And then, like, I'll hear music playing, like, near me, and he'll try to, like, serenade me. And then he'll, after the song is over, he'll be like, did you like it?
Oh, my God.
It's hilarious.
Wait, what does
he
do? He puts what next to your ear?
He puts the wireless speaker near me. He'll get it near me somehow when I'm not watching, and then he'll go upstairs on the iPad and he'll start playing a song. Like,
he plays music on
his iPad, and then after it's over, he'll be like, did you like it? And he'll, like, serenade me. It's the funniest thing. Like, he always
does
that with special songs. It's hilarious. Yeah.
That is so cute. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I love little cute stories like that because, you know what, that's literally what keeps it alive, 100%.
Right. It totally does.
To have your little shenanigans and your little pranks and, you know, just to go back on a couple things, I think it's so important. Don't take yourself too seriously. Remember, thank God you have that passion for each other. You know, if you're not, the worst thing in a relationship is if you don't fight, if you don't argue, if you don't fight for what's important to you, if you're just living with each other with a roommate. You know,
that
to me is like the worst thing. I don't want to live with a roommate. I want to live with passion in my life. I want to live with, you know, my husband, and I want to fight for what's important for yourself. You know what? I think it's really important to remember that most people don't realize is that whatever you're going through is normal. Everyone's going through it. You're not any different. And, you know, you have to make the best of it. It's your attitude that really makes the difference. It's, are you a positive? Are you going to be grateful for what you do have? Are you going to make the best of it? Are you going to rock it?
Exactly. And stay in touch with your friends. You need to have friends through everything.
What
you
was that?
Support system.
Yeah, support system. You have to have friends to talk to, or you won't know you're the only one. Like, you'll think you're the only one, but once you have friends, like, you realize you're not. If you have some specific issue, whatnot, you really need to have friends to talk to, friends to hang out with. Keep it going.
Sometimes you just need to bitch.
Exactly.
It's also your friends that put it back into perspective for you.
Yes, exactly. And you need to hear their horror stories so you see how good you have it sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
True.
Especially because a lot of times, you know, even if the other person seems so much worse to you, you know, customized. Other people's, what they don't like is something that you do like, or whatever their strong thing is, you have a weakness. It's so customized. I mean, it's been a great show this week. I think it's so important to talk about these issues. You know, I really wish that we could bring this up more often. I wish there was more books out there about, you know, relationships after the baby, because I think it's such a huge part. You know, a lot of times it's labeled as postpartum depression, but also a huge part of it is just, you know, your whole life is turned upside down and you're not sure how to deal with it. And I think that every mother, father out there, they need to realize that whatever they're going through is 100% normal, and they'll get through it, and it's going to be awesome. And you just need to remember to rock it like a rock star. Like Shay.
I hear you, Rock. I hear you.
Yeah. And if I don't know if anyone, you know, if you could see a rock star, it would be her. With her
Thank
three
you.
Little kids. Taken everywhere, all over town.
I appreciate it.
Okay, so it's been a great show this week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And once again, tuned into the Roxy Rose Show on It's Real Talk Radio. Make sure to tune in next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540. Don't forget to like the Roxy Rose Show on Facebook. I'm your host, Roxy Rose, and my co-host, Shay Rose.
Thank you for listening. We appreciate it.
Have a good
night. And
I'll
see you guys next week. Bye, Nicole.
Thanks for coming on. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the Roxy Rose Show live on It's Real Talk Radio. You can catch Roxy Rose and Shay Rose on Facebook and Twitter at the Roxy Rose Show at gmail.com. Listen to the Roxy Rose Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by dialing 347-838-9540 or by logging on to blogtalkradio.com/Shay Rose. It's Real Talk Radio. We're not just a brand. We're a family. The most